Welcome to the CoasterGallery.com podcast, a mix of photography, music, roller coasters, and whatever Joel and Jeff Rogers have on their minds. This is episode 1204 for April 11th, 2012. This week, Joel tells Jeff what he plans to teach him about using his digital camera. Jeff teaches Joel about time signatures in music, and both brothers pick a favorite song in an uncommon meter. In their amusement park discussion, they try to decide if a new coaster design is great or if it will be a passing fad. And now, here is Joel Rogers.
So folks, welcome back to another edition of the CoasterGallery.com podcast. I know we're still kind of new, we're figuring out what we're going to talk about. I'd like to just give you a little preview, photographically, what we're going to talk about. I know a lot about taking roller coaster pictures, and I'd like to share some of my knowledge. Jeff, you shoot with a digital SLR or single lens reflex, correct?
That's correct.
I don't really care what brand. I know it's the other brand. They're really two big brands. You shoot with one, I shoot with the other. Honestly, they're identical. Who cares if it's Canon or Nikon? But here's what I want to do. When you shoot, what mode do you shoot on?
Well, let me set this up first. We have a really nice one. It's because my wife actually knows stuff about photography like you do. But when I pick it up, the thing gets put to green, and I point and click. Yeah. That's all I know. I literally know nothing.
You've got the green square or some kind of auto feature.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to get you off that auto feature. So that's what we're going to do. If you're like Jeff, we're going to change you. What do you do for white balance?
I know what white balance is. That's my answer.
That's something else we're going to change. What do you do with exposure compensation? I'm guessing nothing.
I don't even know what that is.
We're going to change that. Flash exposure compensation.
I know what a flash is.
I'm going to talk a little bit about on-camera and off-camera flash. So something else. How about autofocus? Do you use autofocus?
Exclusively.
Well, you know what? So does almost everybody else. If you use manual focus, you're glutton for punishment unless there's something really specific. So what we're going to do is maybe not talk about the business of photography. We're going to talk about more about the technical aspects. And then we're going to get into some things that are going to work on every camera, like composition and subject, that kind of stuff. But hopefully you'll enjoy the photography stuff. And even if you know all the stuff and you're shooting an aperture priority and you have a custom white balance and you do color correction and you do exposure compensation and you know all the stuff, we're going to give you ways to skip the stuff that's really not going to apply to you. So each podcast is going to have a little section saying, here's what time we're going to talk about this. And if you really don't care, you could fast forward to this, where we talk about something else like roller coasters. So here's the big news this month. We had two new coasters. They call them wing coasters. Do you want to give an explanation of what a wing coaster is, Jeff?
Okay. I've not seen one or personally ridden one, but I do know that it is. If you know what X is, it's Six Flags Magic Mountain, their Arrow fourth dimension roller coaster, where the seats are off to the side of the track. And in the case of X, the seats rotate. This is B&M's version of that. However, the seats are stationary. So essentially, it's your regular B&M sit-down floorless inverted seat, whatever, shoulder harness, but you are 3 or 4 feet off of the side of the rail, so there's nothing directly under you, and there's nothing directly below you, or excuse me, above you. And that's really about it, as far as I can tell.
I want to do a quick reset on the roller coaster stuff. I've listened to some roller coaster podcasts. One of the things that drives me nuts is the people that have not been to any of these places. I was listening to one recently, and the guy says, well, I haven't been to Kings Island, and I haven't been to Cedar Point. How can you consider yourself an enthusiast or an expert if you haven't been to two of the biggest parks, you know, in the United States? Jeff and I have been to multiple countries, hundreds of parks. I think you're up to about 400 coasters. I'm up to about 600 coasters. So we're going to have a lot of authority when we talk about roller coasters and amusement
parks. Not authority. We're just nerds.
Well, no, and I'll admit it. I'm a coaster nerd, and I'm proud of it. Now, when you say you haven't been on any of these coasters, here's why. One of them opened in 2011 in Italy. Guess what? I haven't been on that one yet. One opened last week or 2 weeks ago in England, and one opened in Dollywood literally about 7 days ago, so a week ago, And then one is still under construction at Six Flags Great America. So there's really three of these operating, one of them under construction. And honestly, you and I haven't been on them yet. But guess what? I'm going to get on one of these in the United States. I don't know which one. I'd like to do both. But so, yeah, I mean, so B&M, Bollinger & Mabillard, is the Swiss company that makes these. I love B&M. They have some great rides. They've built about 70 coasters in the last decade and a half.
And I bet we've ridden like 50 of them, too.
Yeah, I need to go back and count them. Honestly, I haven't found one that I don't like. I mean, they're just great. Now, they've come up with some unique designs. They had stand-up ones. They had inverted ones where you hang under the track. They had floorless ones. They came up with the flying coaster where you're hanging under the track, but you're in a prone position. So they've come up with some really neat variations on a theme. So here's the quick debate in 60 seconds or less. Is this a cool idea? Is this groundbreaking? Or is this just a dumb gimmick? Go.
Okay, I have a two-sided answer. Number one, it's a dumb gimmick. Number two, it's a necessary dumb gimmick. Mm. Would you like me to go ahead and expand on
sure.
those?
Oh, sure. You got a 65 seconds now. Go.
Okay. It does nothing but put you off to the side of the track. I've watched the POV videos. It looks like riding every other B&M coaster, except the track is slightly offset in your field of vision a couple of feet. And you know what? All it is it's not going to change the way the ride rides or feels. You know, if I close my eyes, I know I'm riding a flying coaster. If I close my eyes, I don't know that I'm not on any regular run-of-the-mill B&M sit-down floorless or even inverted. And so really the only thing cool that I can see they've done with it is I think that one in Thorpe Park, whatever it is, they've done some really cool tunnels.
Yes.
That might be a little bit different than a regular tunnel. So that's really cool. But other than that, I think it's just your average run-of-the-mill, great B&M coaster, but in your field of vision, the track is offset a couple of feet to the side.
Okay, so Thorpe Park opened Swarm in the middle of March 2012, and it's okay. Based on the movie, I think, or is it a comic book or video game? I don't even know.
Not a clue.
But it's like aliens and all sorts of destruction. So there's a crashed airplane that you zip under, and there's tunnels that you go through, and there's police cars and fire trucks or ambulances that you whiz by. And I think visually that's going to be cool because being away from the track, you can get close to some objects, and that'll be head choppers, foot choppers. I don't know what you're going to call them. The one at Six Flags Great America, just outside of Chicago, Illinois, X-Flight, that has a really neat element. You're going through a building, or it actually looks like a control tower in an airport, and at the last second, the cars are going to roll so you could fit through there. It's kind of going through a keyhole that, is, again, visually going to be a really neat gag. I tend to agree with you that ride-wise, it's probably going to ride like every other coaster. So why do you make a coaster like this? Why do you need a gag?
Okay, here's why I think this is all completely necessary, is because, and this is a two-sided answer. Number one, if you're a roller coaster manufacturer, your concern is selling your product. And like any manufacturer, you need to always churn out new products. And that's necessary to, especially because they're building one in Great America. Doesn't Great America have like four B&Ms anyway?
They were the first. They had the first B&M, which was Iron Wolf.
Yeah, but that just moved, I think.
Yes, and they just moved it somewhere out east, I believe.
Regardless, it was there for like 20 years.
They had
inverted.
They had the first inverted, the Batman one.
They have the Hyper one, the Raging Bull,
which I love.
And they have a Superman flying one, right?
Which was one of three, essentially, clones that they did of flying coasters. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, if they already have the entire line of B&M merchandise at their park, they ain't going to be buying another B&M unless B&M can offer something new. And, you know, they're not the only park like that, because these are big-ticket items. You know, these are $25 million roller coasters.
Sure.
And if you're a park that's big enough to be able to buy a $25 million roller coaster, you probably already have one or two of theirs in your park. So B&M needs to offer something new to be sold. Now, on the flip side, one of the major concerns of any park, I would imagine, is how are you going to sell and market your new ride?
Right.
Because you and I both know the greatest roller coasters out there are not always that marketable. You know, they're the mid-size Woodies, the Gravity Group Woodies, They are some of the smaller Intamin, like the Intamin Baby Hypers, that are so insanely awesome. But if you buy a ride and it is not the anything-est, it is not the biggest, the tallest, the fastest, the newest, it doesn't have any gimmick, but it's the world's greatest roller coaster, you can't market that. But if you're like, we are the first American park to get this Wing Rider coaster, and look, you're off the side of the track, you can do something with that.
Exactly.
So the parks need these gimmicks to market. The manufacturers need these gimmicks to make sales. I don't think that actually translates to much to the rider. You know, there's not many coasters that really have a gimmick that truly fundamentally alters what the ride is, and therefore, you know, really stands out because of that. Most of these gimmicks, they tend to build a couple of them over a span of a couple of years, and then they're never any more.
Yeah.
But I still think they serve that purpose, I said.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I want to get to Dollywood to ride Wild Eagle. I want to get to Six Flags Great America to ride X-Flight when it opens. I still think they're going to be fun. I don't think that it's the wave of the future. It's not going to be every coaster like this.
My only other question is, why is B&M developing these roller coasters but keeping the seats stationary?
Right, because when Aerodynamics or Aero made theirs at Six Flags Magic Mountain, they could control the angle of the seat relative to the track. You could be head up, head down, forward, backward, but that was an incredibly complex mechanism that gave them teething pains and honestly almost drove them to bankruptcy. They did file for Chapter 11 eventually.
Well, you know
and
what?
And they built that, two of them and quit. So
that did fundamentally alter the ride experience. That was not just a gimmick. That was a completely different ride.
Oh, yes.
And I think everyone's thought when they built that, what, a decade ago or whatever, was if anybody could do this well, because X hurts. I did not like it when I wrote it.
Well, and there you go. You wrote it once. I wrote it twice and said, yeah, I'm done. So it's not a
If anybody
pleasant...
could do that right, everyone said, it would be B&M.
Yeah.
And my thought is maybe B&M has given it some thought and said, we're not going to do that. We're not sure we could build that and have it live up to our standards of rideability.
Sure. So they came up with the one last year with the fixed seats. So now there are three more. Or is this a prelude? Do you come out with one with fixed seats and then a couple of years have rotating seats? Who knows?
Yeah, could only hope.
Okay. So what this podcast is not going to do is weekly news every day. We're going to hit some big topics like this, but honestly, I can't keep up with every little park. I listen to some podcasts, and they talk about, hey, here's a new restaurant, and what's on the restaurant menu in this park. You know what? Way too detailed. Go listen to the Disney podcasts or something if you want that kind of detail. We're going to have just a broad overview of some of the things hitting the industry. And you know what? We're going to have some shameless CoasterGallery.com plugs in there because, hey, I want you to come look at my roller coaster pictures too. What we're also going to do is, you know, we have a life outside of coasters. Jeff is a professional musician. I dabble in music. So I'm going to push Jeff to learn some more about photography, and Jeff is going to push me to learn some more about music. One of the ways we're going to do this is just some simple music picks. So to keep this episode kind of short, I'm going to pick one thing, and then you're going to pick one song. People can go to coastergallery.com/blog, look up episode 1204, and it'll have links to these tracks. You can listen to them, or you better yet, buy them through Amazon.com. And we get a small portion of the proceeds, although honestly, our cut on a music track, I think, comes up to one, maybe two pennies. Obviously, we're not getting rich on it. But so here's what I want to do. I picked a song that's in 7 beats. It's in a 7 beats per measure time signature. Explain to me briefly, in 30 seconds, what am I talking about when I'm talking about beats per measure or time signatures?
Okay, time to put on my old music theory hat. A beat is the pulse that divides musical time. You know, it's what you dance to, it's what you feel. Usually those beats are grouped into what we call measures, and 99.5% of all music of any style you've ever heard in your life is in something called 4/4 time. Now all that means is those beats are grouped into fours, and the other four means that beat is designated a quarter note in the musical score. But unless you're writing or reading the music, that doesn't even necessarily matter to you. The other 0.4% of music you've heard of your life is in 3/4 time or 6/8 time, where basically you're feeling 3 beats.
Which is a waltz, absolutely.
Exactly. And then probably less than 0.1% of music, I would probably argue way less than 0.1% of music is in a time other than those, or in an odd time, like you're saying, 7. That's exceptionally rare in any sort of popular style of music.
Okay, so when we pick songs to highlight, they're not going to be things that you see or hear on Top 40 radio. So it may be artists you're familiar with, but songs you aren't. Or it may be artists you've never heard of. So hopefully this is going to broaden your horizons. So I think what I'm going to do is push the musical envelope a little bit. What Jeff is going to do is take that envelope, rip it up, and take the little pieces and set them on fire.
Sounds great.
All right. So today, yes, you've heard of the group. You probably have never heard of the album The Ladder from the late 90s, and I almost guarantee you've never heard of the song Lightning Strikes. So go to coastergallery.com/blog. Look for Lightning Strikes. It's in 7 beats per measure, although there's a little bridge in the middle that's back to a regular 4/4 time signature. But I love stuff in 7. I should probably put up some other songs that are also in 7. Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill. There's a couple old Genesis songs like Back in New York City.
Turn It On Again was it?
No. We're going to get into that another time because that's in 13.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then it's in 4, and then it's in 3. That one switches a lot. So we're going to save that for another time.
Fair enough. You
already told me what your pick is this week, and I know it's not a simple time.
Yeah, well, you said
so
you're going to do one, and you said you're going to do one in 7. I'm going to go with one of my favorite bands of all time, a band called Dream Theater. They are a progressive rock, a progressive metal group. They are insanely successful, even though they do not have mainstream success. They've been around for 25, 30 years. They've sold millions of records worldwide, sold millions of concert seats worldwide. You're just not going to hear them on the radio. They have an insanely devout following of music nerds like myself. One time they did an album back in 1999 called Metropolis Part 2, Scenes from a Memory. It's a concept album where the entire album is essentially one musical work. And one of the tracks off of that is a song called The Dance of Eternity. They sat down to write an instrumental song for this CD. They are a vocal band. There is a vocalist. But they basically said, we're going to write the sickest instrumental we've ever written. And it is just that. It is incredible. It is their magnum opus as far as instrumentals are concerned. It's a tour de force. I think it's roughly 7 minutes long. If you go to YouTube, type in Dream Theater Dance of Eternity, you'll see a live version. You'll see probably the studio version. You can go buy those on Amazon or iTunes. But in the span of the 7 minutes, the time signature, what you're talking about, changes 104 times.
Excellent.
And we're not just talking about alternating back and forth or doing simple, common times like 4/4 or 3/4. For the musicians in the house, you know, they will quickly go from 7/8 to 13/16 to 2/4 to, you know, 6/8, you know, just in.
Crazy.
It doesn't sound that awkward. You know, people that are skilled in writing progressive music can make those time changes work, where those who are not skilled in writing progressive music, those things sound like horrible, awkward gear changes or gear shifts in the music. So if you want to have your mind blown for many musical reasons, check out that track. It is the height of insanity in terms of that kind of music, and it is wonderful. I love it. I wish I could play it, but alas, I can't.
All right, Jeff, I look forward to hearing this track, and I look forward to hearing your future picks. This is going to be a fun little audio diary as you push me to be a better musician and I push you to be a better photographer. So thanks, everybody, for listening. This is the time where I would love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear what your favorite piece is that's in a strange time signature. I'll put a couple on our show notes, but I love to keep adding to the collection. I'd also like to hear what you would like to hear in the future. What are your suggestions? We're still a new podcast. This is only our 4th show this year. There's a lot more to come, but I'd like to tailor it to what you want to hear. Do you want to hear more about photography, more about music, more about coasters, more about something else we haven't even talked about yet? We're going to do a lot of cool things. I got a lot of plans. I don't want to spoil them all, but we're going to have some interesting interviews. We're going to record outside of the studio here. Maybe have some nice background of roller coaster screams, that kind of stuff. So I hope you keep listening. As far as the feedback, there's plenty of ways to get hold of us. You can catch us on Twitter. Look for us as coastergallery.com. You can see us on Facebook, facebook.com/coastergallery. If you want to leave some notes there on the show blog, the show notes, coastergallery.com/blog, or you could just go to the coastergallery.com homepage, click on the podcast link, or you can always email me, joel@coastergallery.com. That's Joel, J-O-E-L, @coastergallery.com. Thanks again for listening. Jeff?
Until next time.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks for playing the guitar intro and outro music. Folks, whatever you do this week, go out there and have some fun. Go take some pictures, go listen to some music. It's the middle of April when I'm recording this, which means that coasters are opening. Go ride some coasters. Just whatever you do, go out and have fun. See ya.